بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 17th of March in the year 2024 alhamdulillah already we've completed the first week the seventh day of the glorious month of Ramadan and we moved on to the 10th session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed Surah Al-Nur. And I've reached verse 13. So the verse is translated, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ Why did they not bring four witnesses to prove it? When they have not brought the witnesses, such people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stand forth themselves as liars. So in verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when it came to the incident with regards to our mother radiyallahu anha, why didn't they bring four witnesses? What was all this gossip? If you haven't got the witnesses, the Quran says, you are clearly liars. And that is in reference to verse 4, going back to verse 4 of the same surah. You need to have witnesses. Verse 14, were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, in this world and the hereafter, a grievous penalty would have now seized you in that you rushed glibly into the affair. Behold, when you were spreading with your tongues and said out of your mouths things of that of which you had no knowledge, and you thought it to be a light matter, whilst it was more serious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the gravity of this crime because you considered it light on your tongue, but it was very serious. Verse 16 to 17. And why did you not, when you heard it, say, it is not right of us to speak of this. Glory be to you, free from all imperfection. This is a more serious slander. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does admonish you that you may never repeat such conduct if you are true believers. So these are verses 16 and 17. So Allah ta'ala mentions this is what you should have done. You should have immediately said, stop this speech. Subhanak, this is a more serious slander. You can never repeat this if you are believers. So now here, subhanallah, a very important principle is established from these holy verses. And Imam Malik himself clarified. So this is recorded in Qadi Iyad in Ishifa, page 444 of the English translation. So Imam Malik, the Imam of Darul Hijrah, rahmatullah alayh, he said, anyone who curses Sayyidina Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, is flogged. But anyone who curses Aisha is killed, radiyallahu anhu. He was asked, why, O Imam? He replied, whoever attacks her has opposed the Quran. Ibn Shiban relates this from Imam Malik because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited verse 17, يَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does warn you that you will never repeat such conduct if you are true believers. To stop in the report. So what's very strange? Abu Bakr is obviously senior than his daughter. He is, you know, the greatest of men after the prophets. His daughter is also Siddiqa, but she is lowest in the status. However, his daughter, our mother, radiyallahu anha, has a rank which even Abu Bakr doesn't have. What is that? If you curse Abu Bakr, you are flogged. It's not a capital punishment in the sense your life is taken. But you curse his noble daughter, our beloved mother, you are killed. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, never repeat this. Never repeat what? Slandering her. If you are believers. Then Qadi Iyad, he further related, rahmatullah alayh. Abu al-Hassan al-Saqli, rahmatullah alayh, relates that Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Tayyib, rahmatullah alayh, also said, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran what the idol worshippers ascribe to him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies himself. For instance, in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 116, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ. They said, the Most Merciful has begotten a son. Glory be to him, free from all imperfection. And many similar verses. So stop in the quote. So one of the Maliki sheikhs, the Qadi Abu Bakr ibn At-Tayyib, he goes, look at the Quran. Whenever the idol worshippers ascribe something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, Subhanah. In other words, what are they saying? What word does he use? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanah. And then the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the hypocrites about Aisha. And he quotes verse 16. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِئْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَّقَلَّمَا بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْدَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Why did you not, when you heard it, say, it is not right of us to speak this? Glory be to you. This is a more serious slander. Then the Shaykh said, note how he subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified himself in declaring her innocence from evil, just as he glorified himself in declaring himself from evil, i.e. in the Quran. This corroborates the statement of Imam Malik about killing those who curse Aisha. So think about that. When they lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala defends himself, says, Subhanak, what a horrific thing, glorified and free from all imperfection. Am I from what you say? He used that phrase when they slandered Aisha. So just as he defended himself from kufr, he goes, I'm far from what you're saying. He used the same phrase to defend Aisha. So how horrific was that crime? Similarly, it is related that Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Tayyib, At-Tayyib rahmatullah alayhi, was sent by the Muslims to the Christian king in Constantinople. So what happened? Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, in his Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 2, page 56. So this respected sheikh was sent as a representative of the Muslims to the capital of the Christian empire, which is now Istanbul, but that time that was the base. It is related, after taking his seat, one of the Christians mischievously raised the issue of the false accusation made against Aisha. And he said, what is the story that is related about Aisha, the wife of your Prophet? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Qadi Abu Bakr rahmatullah alayhi answered, two women were falsely accused of adultery. One you know, Maryam, radiyallahu anha, and Aisha. But as for Maryam, radiyallahu anha, she appeared carrying a child whilst having no husband. Whilst Aisha, radiyallahu anha, did not have a child but had a husband. His explanation pointed to the fact that the innocence of Aisha is far clearer and easier to prove than that of Maryam, radiyallahu anha. The Christians were completely dumbfounded with the reply, subhanAllah. So look at this, what the shuyukh do. So obviously, Christian had a job. What's this story about your wife, of your Prophet, Aisha? So imagine, what would you have said? Gone through the text, you know, explain what the science of hadith is. Didn't even bother. He goes, oh, two women were accused. And look how beautiful. He goes, both were innocent. We believe it. But one is more difficult for us to really believe, but we believe it. Because one came back with a child. And she wasn't even married. Child, not even married. But we believe she's innocent. He goes, the other noble woman, she was married and she had no child. So really, if anybody, what he was saying was, if really anybody should be asking that question, it's me asking you. But we don't speak like this about the noble ladies. Zip. How are you supposed to respond to that? Right? He went. And that was his introduction to the court of the king. Imam Qurtubi, what was his angle? Imam Qurtubi in his Tafsir, Ma'rif al-Qur'an, volume 6, page 380 of the English translation, and Waru al-Bayan, volume 6, page 385 of the English translation, Imam Qurtubi, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam was falsely accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated him through the evidence of a baby by granting him speech. When Sayyidina Maryam radiyallahu anha was falsely accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated her through the evidence of her son, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. But, subhanallah, when the false accusation was leveled against our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 10 verses of the Quran to declare her exoneration, which undoubtedly further enhances her respect and stature. Subhanallah. So let's break this down. What's the narrative of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? He was accused. Who accused him? The wife of the Aziz. Because he tried to, a'udhu billah, you know, commit evil with me. Who defended Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? The hadith is in Tabarani, authentic. There was an infant child. An infant child miraculously spoke. Because he's innocent. So who did Allah Ta'ala use to defend a holy prophet of God? A baby. Miracle. Allahu Akbar. But it's a baby. MashaAllah. Let's turn to Maryam. She comes back, radiyallahu anha, with her illustrious son, who defended the mother. Miraculous again, the baby. Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. MashaAllah. Surah 19, verse 30 to 33 explains this. So two miraculous infants spoke to defend their respected prophet and respected mother of a prophet. The difference with Aisha is, who defended her? Was he a baby infant? Was he a prophet? It wasn't enough. Allah Ta'ala didn't reveal one verse, 10 verses, I've defended her. So what does that tell you about Aisha? This doesn't mean, a'udhu billah, she's greater than Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But here, there's one thing you can, you look at, you think, this is a heaven and earth difference. Even Maryam, heaven and earth difference. Allah Ta'ala has defended her with 10 verses. Imam Qurtubi goes, you work it out. But he said 10 verses. But like I mentioned, there's actually 15 verses. He's referring to the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So now think about this. You got people in the world calling themselves Muslims, and they have a curse Aisha day. Imagine, let balloons off. What's the celebration? Oh, this is the day we curse Aisha. And then you go, you all need to be killed. But there's no Islamic State. What do you mean killed? She did this and she did that, and she went against Ali and she did this. Allah Ta'ala says, never repeat the like of it if you are believers. You're still slandering her. Right? So note again, this is why Allah Ta'ala, because he knows past, present and future. He knows she's going to be targeted. Who does he use to defend? I will defend her. But these wretches who call themselves Muslims, who read the same Quran, because no, these verses aren't revealed for Aisha. They were revealed for Maria. And they lie, right? Because Aisha's lying. Imagine how many slanders, you know, stop talking. Aisha's a liar because we don't trust her. We don't take our deed from her. Allah Ta'ala has defended her. You don't take your deed from her. That's like saying, I don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next verses, verse 18 and 19. Translation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the signs plain to you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of knowledge and wisdom. Those who look to see scandal published broadcast amongst the believers will have a grievous penalty in this life and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, you know not. Look at the threat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those of you who love to hear these, you know, these gossip about the believers, you know, slanders, I'm going to punish you in this world, Allah Ta'ala says, first, before the hereafter. Because I know you don't know. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali, what did he say? Radiyallahu. The one who speaks indecent words and the one who spreads them are really alike in sin. The one who speaks indecent words and the one who spreads them, they're the same. Hazrat Ali said, this is in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 324. Now think about that. So when they were slandering Aisha, who started it? The chief hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Then innocent ones started spreading it. According to Amir al-Mu'mineen, they bought the same. So no point arguing over it. No. They got affected. But the one who, he said, well, do you know better than Amir al-Mu'mineen? Our Mawla, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu. Because you're the same. And a lot of people use that as an excuse, you know. I wasn't to blame. I just heard it. So why did you spread it? So the Quran is saying, those who love to see scandal published, broadcast amongst the believers will have a severe punishment in this world. Allah Ta'ala will only punish in this world if it's a major crime. He waits for the grave normally, or the day of judgment. He doesn't usually take you to task. But there's some sins that are so grave in his sight, he will take you to task in this world. And this is one of them. And how common is it? Have you heard about so-and-so? So-and-so's wife? Have you heard about so-and-so's? Oh, they're thinking of divorce. Did you see that woman? She was in that dodgy place. Stop talking. Right? Astaghfirullah. This is the same problem. The verses continue. Verses 20 and 21. Were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of kindness and mercy, i.e. you would have been ruined. O you who believe, do not follow shaitan's footsteps. If any will follow the footsteps of shaitan, he will then but command what is shameful and wrong. And were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, not one of you would have ever been pure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does purify whom he pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who hears and knows all things. That was interesting. If you look at these verses, from verses 11 onwards, how many times does Allah ta'ala say this? Were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you? He says it four times. He repeats it. Were it not for the grace and mercy? Why? Because Allah ta'ala is saying, you should be punished. What was happening? But I'm showing my grace, because Rasulullah is with you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm showing my grace. And he goes, you would never have been pure. I'm showing my grace. Now, what are the footsteps of shaitan? Khutawat is shaitan. So there's commentaries. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he recited, Khutawat is shaitan, the footsteps of shaitan, verse 21. He said, means his deeds. Do not follow the deeds of shaitan. That's what he is doing. It's his job. Scandal, slander, that's his job. What are you getting involved with him for? Don't follow him. Ikrimah, he said, Rahmatullah alayhi, in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, the footstep means his evil whispers. Don't listen to them. Because he can't force you. He'll just say, talk, say something. Don't listen. Though the Quran says footsteps, because it's his whispers. He can't literally force you. Qatada, Rahmatullah alayhi, he said, every sin is khutawat is shaitan. Any sin from A to Z you commit, you follow the footsteps of shaitan. This is in Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, after defending our mother, he goes, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. He goes, he commands you to what is shameful and wrong. Then he says it again, were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah, how many times? You would never have been pure. But he is the one who hears and knows. The verse continues, verse 22. Let not those amongst you who are endued with grace and amplitude of means resolve by oath against helping their family, those in need and those who have left their homes in the path of Allah. Let them forgive and overlook. Do you not love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiving, the most merciful. So now who's being referred to? Allah Ta'ala is saying that there's somebody amongst you who I've blessed with grace and means, and he's sworn an oath to stop helping his family. He goes, don't do it. So now who's being referred to here? In Sahih Bukhari, number 4141, Sahih Muslim, number 2770, Nasa'i, number 8931, Tirmidhi, number 3180, Ahmad Tabarani goes on. Our mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the declaration of my innocence, my father Abu Bakr used to provide for Mr. Ibn Aratha radiyallahu anha, for he was his cousin. And he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will now never provide Mr. with anything because of what he said about Aisha. Upon this, Allah ta'ala revealed this verse. Let not those amongst you who are blessed with grace and amplitude swear not to give to their family. The poor and those who have left their homes in the cause of Allah, let them pardon and overlook. For do you not love that Allah ta'ala should pardon and overlook? Allah ta'ala is of forgiving, most merciful. After this verse, Abu Bakr said, yes, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should overlook and forgive me. He then resumed helping Misna, whom he used to help before. So this is the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So who is Allah ta'ala now talking to? The father of Aisha. I thought these verses were revealed about Maria. Why is Allah ta'ala talking about Abu Bakr now? So obviously you're lying. It's not about Maria radiyallahu anha. This verse surely clears context. It's the father of Abu Bakr. He swore a qasam. Now, which father wouldn't do that? If your daughter's innocent and Allah Ta'ala has revealed her innocent and people have slandered her and you know that one of them is your cousin and you have, think about it, is that how you repay the kindness of your cousin? Right? So Abu Bakr, obviously, he's hurt because I'm never going to give. But he was Siddiq, he Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala intervened because don't do it. And immediately, he goes, I'm going to give it. But in another report, in Tabarani, in his Kabir, Siratul Mustafa, volume 2, page 328 of the English translation, he doubled his financial assistance. So imagine how embarrassed Mr. must have been. I slandered his daughter, A'udhu Billah. Because of that, I'm getting doubled. He must have thought, Yara, this is embarrassing, but this was because he was a badr. Imagine, somebody goes, why has he got double? What great deed did he do? How did he please the one who's given him? Because he didn't please him, he upset him. Why is he giving him double? Because he's Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. Mr. was Badri. And like I mentioned, I don't want to go into it again. Abu Bakr, Allah Ta'ala, was telling him, don't step out of the Siddiq, the sphere of Siddiq, because the Siddiqs don't live like this. And beautifully, Allah Ta'ala defended the Badri. Mr. was a Badri. Do whatever you want. Allah Ta'ala promised, I'm going to forgive you. So Allah Ta'ala defended the Badri in the same verse. And he highlighted that Abu Bakr, even though you're Badri, you're actually Siddiqi Akbar. Don't step out of that. Look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala is protecting the Sahaba. And look at the verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? This is for us now. Do you not love that Allah Ta'ala should forgive you? Pardon and forgive. There's a hadith to finish. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Tabarani, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi said, Sahih, in Sahih ul-Jami, number 6600, Jabir radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who does not show mercy, then no mercy will be shown to him. And he who does not forgive, will not be forgiven. Now this is very, very interesting hadith. Why? We all want the mercy of Allah, of course. We all want to be forgiven. But this hadith is telling you something. Sahih hadith. He will not show mercy if you don't show mercy. So if you got that wretched trait and I don't forgive people. Now think about that. They've done wrong. You don't forgive somebody who hasn't done wrong. So when you come out with that statement, if somebody harms me, I'm a man, I don't forgive. You've damned yourself. If you don't, you don't forgive. Yeah, okay. Well, Allah is not going to forgive you. Then they come out, no, but they harm me. Well, obviously, you forgive somebody who's harmed you. You don't forgive somebody who hasn't harmed you. Who's Allah talking about? So you have to get into that trait. So then it makes it easy. Why? Because when you forgive, it's hard. This guy did this, he stabbed me, he did that, he ripped me off. And then you just think, if I forgive him, Allah will forgive me. And I've got all the skeletons in the closet. Then you think, I forgive you. Now, you're not really forgiving him. You're thinking about yourself. I want my sins to be forgiven. That's the Muslim. He's not like a non-Muslim, humanitarian. Right? We're not bothered about that. Right? We've got that noble selfishness. Then what did the Prophet say? He who does not forgive will not be forgiven. You want Allah Ta'ala's mercy, show mercy. You want Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, show forgiveness. And if you haven't got it, make dua for it. Right? But don't forget the mindset. Soon as somebody harms you, now is the time for you to get your sins forgiven. It's hard, but you got to take that step. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, Allah Ta'ala set him as the standard. Because can't you do what Siddiq Akbar did? His innocent daughter, the wife of the Prophet, who I chose for my last messenger, was slandered. He stepped out. I'm stopping it. Allah Ta'ala goes, don't. And look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala could have revealed it to the Prophet. The Prophet could have said it to him. Look, Abu Bakr, you're Siddiq. But he's so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't even let the Prophet speak. I'm speaking to Abu Bakr. Because I've blessed you. I've graced you. You've been given means. Stop doing this. Immediately step back into the realm of Siddiqiyat. And what little things can't we forgive? Imagine. What's up, brother? What's he done? He didn't give that fiver back I lent him. Oh my God, brother. Right? Just forgive. And you go, no, brother, it's principle, innit? Right? Good look and day of judgment, innit? Good look and day of judgment. Don't you study the Quran? Subhanallah. So I've reached up to verse 22. And inshallah, we will continue from here. If you're still alive, next week. So I'll recite the verse. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَدْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه حينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيء الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب عليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته أن الله رؤوف رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأت لأولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered.
سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله.